How you doing? This is the second time you've been on the show. We actually had you on previously around the Dow Chemical hijinks.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry to hog up the airtime.
Oh, I think we quite enjoyed it. So, why don't you give us a little background, because that was about a year ago, about what you guys do. It seems to be a lot of impersonations.
Yeah. Well, we're in the business of identity correction. And basically, you know, we think that there's a lot of criminals out there that wouldn't care to be honest about themselves and what they're doing. I mean, you know, everywhere you turn, you hear a new story of corporate corruption or governmental lies. And these are really the big criminals in the world. And we feel like we should take the principles that small-time crooks use for identity theft and apply them to what we call identity correction, and that is making people more honest by presenting a more honest face for them. So we steal the identities of people like George Bush or the World Trade Organization in order to represent them more honestly than they care to represent themselves. How's that for a tongue twister?
That works for me. You've done quite a lot of work through the fortunate mistaking of you guys as the WTO. I noticed on the website.
Yeah, that's right. We stumbled into it accidentally. We stumbled into this whole field of identity correction right before the giant Seattle protests of 1999, when all these people were going to Seattle to protest against this global torture system that's called global free trade. And we set up a website because we couldn't go in person, and we were embarrassed about that. So we set up a website satirizing the WTO and poking fun of its policies and kind of exaggerating them to the point of impossibility. And to our shock, people didn't actually notice. A lot of people didn't actually notice and came and clicked on the contact button and started writing to us. And that was fun for a while. And then we started getting messages inviting us to come speak at conferences. And that's when we really got into the business of identity correction.
Yeah, you get an invitation from a conference to go and represent the people that you're most opposed to. And, you know, then, of course, you're faced with an ethical decision. And the only choice really is to go ahead and represent them more honestly than they care to represent themselves.
Or all hell breaks loose, basically.
At least a portion of it.
Yes. So more recently, you, Mike and Andy, as well as Louise, all attended a Heritage Foundation event. Why don't we start by giving a little background on the Heritage Foundation?
Right. Well, the Heritage Foundation is the most influential think tank in probably the world, in America certainly. They're funded, they have $25 million annual budget. And what they do is they present congressmen and anybody else who wants to express themselves as a conservative with concise and clear talking points. They basically determine the tenor of conversation of conservatives. And what these people want to do, their avowed goal is to bring the state to collapse, what they call the liberal welfare state. They want to bring it to collapse, and that's the words of the Heritage Foundation's president. They want to end public education, end Social Security and all that. That's really their core goal. That's their vision, and they are the most influential organization outside of government.
And if anybody cares to actually see the proof that that is their goal, they can go to our website, www.theyesmen.org, and look at the section on the Heritage Foundation, and they will see the menu, which has an address from the president of the Heritage Foundation, that was given to us at a luncheon that we attended as a conservative think tank. And on the menu, the address states exactly those things that Andy mentioned a minute ago.
Well, let's back up just a little bit. So you guys attended a Heritage Foundation, this evil foundation that manages to control a lot of policy getting done right now, not unlike Grover Norquist, another favorite.
Yeah, Grover Norquist was there, actually. He was on the attendees list. Yeah, we have his email if anybody wants it.
Oh, I might like that. Okay. We'll talk about that later. but you guys were at the Heritage Foundation gathering. Now, people would think that it would be kind of hard to infiltrate such a place.
sure. It's very hard. You have to form a think tank, and that is a lengthy process. We had to go through an entire domain registration process where we chose the name and registered it. It cost, I think, $12.
Yeah, it took 5 minutes and like a credit card or some way of paying.
We also needed a logo.
Yeah, we had to go. Oh, geez, that was rough.
That was the whole hour, actually, because we're not.
Did you have to know how to use Photoshop for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
You can see how that goes, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, you mentioned on the website it cost you all of about, I don't know, all things told, under about $100 to do all that.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad for that. And, I mean, we got free food for 2 days, so I think we actually came out in the blue.
Wow.
Yeah, don't get any illusions. It's still not worth it.
No.
Forming a hideous think tank, it's a bad idea.
So you don't necessarily have to be, I mean, when we hear think tank on the news, we tend to think, you know, a group of very intelligent, you know, erudite professionals. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, does it?
Well, most think tanks are right-wing, it turns out. There aren't that many left-wing ones for some reason. And, boy, in our experience, there were 650 of these people who were all from different think tanks, and each one was crazier than the last. Like, there was, I mean, it was really a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, you don't need any education whatsoever to become part of a think tank. You just need to be able to toe a party line and, you know, make a point in some kind of arcane and idiotic language.
Yeah.
Just take a look at some of the position papers on the Heritage Foundation's website. They are completely inane. I mean, you got to learn idiots doublespeak. That's all.
Do you have the Heritage Foundation web address handy?
Or? Heritage.org.
It's just heritage.org.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But get this. Besides, like, people like Ed Meath and Jesse Helms and Grover Norquist and that sort of thing, there was this thing called the Society for the Economic Study of Religion, which has scientifically determined that the best religion for a country to have, if it's going to be a real free market kind of place, is Pentecostalism.
Oh, really?
So, of course, these people had all, you know, as a consequence, become Pentecostal. Maybe they already were, who knows. And they were going to Africa to convert a lot of Africans to Pentecostalism based on their scientific research.
So this isn't evangelism or anything of that sort. It's scientific study.
Yeah, free trade evangelism. So gotcha. The idea is that to kind of like act like some kind of parasite on another evangelical practice that seems to be successful at converting people, and in the process you can open the markets the way you want to.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then there were a bunch of Atlas Foundation people, Ayn Rand people.
I was just about to ask you about that.
Huge.
Tell us about the Atlas Foundation a little bit.
Oh, I don't know anything about it except, you know, it's Ayn Rand.
And that's scary enough.
Yeah.
And then, you know, our half of the table where we put down our own position papers and our little logo, we had a little model of our logo, next to us was the Cato Institute. And also the Eudoxa Institute, which had some great papers on some things where I could even see, you know, a need. Like, for instance, they had a paper on morphological freedom.
Morphological? What is that?
Well, that's just freedom to do with your body what you want, you know, able to get plastic surgery if you want it, to be able to change your gender if you want. But the whole point there is that, I mean, they're basically hacks who work for these biotech companies, and they make a case that's pretty valid about having, you know, a choice about how you want your body to be shaped.
But how do they feel about gay marriage?
Oh. No, they don't like it. Nobody there likes gay marriage. See, this
really
is part of the contradiction of the whole thing.
I see.
They can have a paper that's about morphologic freedom, but they are very opposed to things like gay marriage or a woman's right to choose.
Yeah.
So when you went to the Heritage Foundation, let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to KALX Berkeley, 90.7 FM, and I'm here speaking with Mike and Andy of the Yes Men. You can visit their website at www.theyesmen.org. And you want to make sure it's the Yes Men, because I saw another website that didn't seem like you guys at all.
Never say die.
So you guys went to this Heritage Foundation convention and actually ended up presenting some ideas of your own while there.
Yeah. Well, we got there, you know, we had come to the conclusion over the last month or two. We decided to focus on the single biggest virus in the world today, George Bush. And so we decided to try to do something like we'd done with the World Trade Organization, except we'd immediately noticed that we weren't getting the same kind of invitations through this fake Bush website. So there had to be another way to approach it. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to just show up and figure it out. And we got there,
right.
Looked around, studied them, figured out what they were, and at an opportune moment delivered a toast where we nominated Ed Meese for president.
And I guess it might be a little much to ask for the entire content of the toast, but maybe you could give us an overview of how that went over.
they were happy.
Yeah, people applauded. To understand the toast, you have to understand that Ed Meese was offered as a counterpoint to George Bush, because the first part of the toast was about how George Bush had failed as a true free markets or conservative candidate, because he was offering all of this market distortion and cronyism to people who were opening markets in Iraq. So
The Iraq War was basically the Heritage Foundation, people had relentlessly harped on Bush's terribly socialistic, like, No Child Left Behind little thing, mm-hmm. like even that little tiny drop of aid was too much for them, and
really?
You know, every other kind of social liberal communist welfare thing, but they never mentioned this biggest case of crony corporate welfare that history has ever heard of, which is
there was no concern about the Iraq War or about benefits to companies like Enron and
that was the hypocrisy that was highlighted in the toast. That was called, as Andy said when he made the toast, the 900-pound gorilla in the room,
okay.
You know, and of course, then he pointed to Ed Meese, who is sitting just in front of the podium, former Attorney General under Reagan,
who is a bit like a gorilla.
Yeah, and nominated the 900-pound gorilla himself. You know, uh-huh. Although that's a little bit of a twist. Yeah,
yeah. No. Yeah, we're just lying through our teeth now.
Okay, but well, you have the video of actually trying to nominate him, and
yeah,
and
that we did, and
he,
you know,
screws
people
up his
at his table applauded, which I think makes it official. I think his wife applauding makes him actually a candidate.
But the look on his face made me think he was a little skeptical.
Oh. Well, don't be fooled.
Okay.
He was very pleased, just surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and before we wrap up, I want to also, maybe you guys can talk about the protesters wearing ostrich suits.
Oh, God. There was this amazing situation where there's an organization that's fighting to dismantle Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Their goal is to basically replace Social Security with individual retirement accounts that you can invest anywhere you want to. In other words, get rid of it entirely. And on the first day of the Heritage Foundation event, they had two women in ostrich suits who were holding placards, hand-drawn placards, that said, "Fix Social Security now." And,
get your heads out of the sand.
Yeah,
get your heads out of that.
And so, I went over to the desk and I said, first I asked the women what they were doing, and they said, "Well, we're protesting. You know, we want to fix Social Security." And I said, "Well, can you tell me more about that? Like, this is great that you're here. You know, I thought I'd found some like-minded people." You know, and they said, "Well, go ask at the desk." And so I went over and asked at the desk, and reluctantly, the woman at the desk told me that they were hired temps. So they had hired protesters to stand there at this event and wear these ostrich suits to convince people that we had our heads in the sand about Social Security.
So the only real protesters at the event were hired by the event itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the event was the organization is called For Your Grandchildren.
For Your Grandchildren.
Yeah.
For Our Grandchildren.
For Our Grandchildren.
Oh, for...
And it says on their flyer, "The money is ours."
Oh. So you guys took that, took that as license to do
exactly.
your own work with costumes.
Exactly.
Yeah, and in fact, that was like what we, you know, at the end of that day, we decided that we would rent a gorilla costume, and the next day, we would stand there and do the same thing, you know, hire protesters and put them in gorilla costumes and, you know, protest the event, but, and then we got derailed by this Meese plan. So
yeah,
I see.
But yeah,
so
we ended up on a gorilla costume anyway,
and a missing foot.
Oh, geez,
they
yeah.
tried to arrest the gorilla, basically.
So you had a gorilla show up. To
we
the
did
event?
Have a gorilla show up. Actually, it was Mike here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, and he was impersonating Ed Meese as a gorilla, walking
I was
around,
trying to get people to sign petitions to draft Ed Meese for president, but nobody wanted to go near the gorilla except for a couple of gorillas from the Heritage Foundation who came over and tried to rip my head off and then escorted me out of the building, and I lost a foot.
So that would pretty much be the end of your attendance at the Heritage Foundation's conference.
Probably.
Maybe.
Year.
They won't let another gorilla in, that's for sure.
Well, and we should mention, I don't want to overlook the fact that when we talk about Ed Meese, he was also the founder during the Reagan era of the Meese Commission, who would probably be very comfortable with a lot that's going on with the FCC right now.
Mm. Decency, you know, of course, he's very, very concerned with decency, so he kept it clean.
Very good. Well, we thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Again, we've been speaking with Mike and Andy from the Yes Men. Their website, www.theyesmen.org. And you can, I noticed that you can, anybody can become a Yes Man.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Many people already are.
Stories down and send them in.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. And,
hey, can we also mention that we've got a movie coming out?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. you guys have like a real big Hollywood movie coming out.
Big Hollywood. Yeah. United Artists. August. End of August. Yeah. Corporate.
And who wrote that?
Wrote it.
Oh, it's not. It's a documentary.
Oh,
it follows us around to these different things. So. It's about our sort of events with the WTO.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we'll be looking at, when does that come out again?
End of August. Berkeley, yeah, end of August.
End of August.
Yep.
So look out for, and the movie will just be called The Yes Men?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got a book, too.
No way. You guys are just hawking goods like crazy.
Action figure coming soon.
So look for the book and the movie, and we'll have you back maybe around time the movie comes on.
Excellent. That would be lovely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.